Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days, a 101-night sleep trial, and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices, up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep, upgrade your life. Ghostbed, the coolest beds in the world.
Yeah, anytime you see those pictures where it's like, here's the A-team, and they're like 28 and 32, yeah. And you're like,
Jesus Christ!
Hannibal's old.
Yeah, he was 45.
Yeah. Hum to Papa.
I love it when a plan falls apart. Well, we were supposed to have a guest this week, and the guest had to cancel at the last minute, so now we're kind of winging it, but that's okay. We're good at doing that. We can all improvise. Thank you to everybody who came out to Atlanta Pizza in Euro. Also, happy birthday. We're recording today. Happy birthday to Mike.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Yeah, we had a good time out there, and thank you to everybody who ventured out to see us.
I liked how Tim was scared nobody was going to show up.
He was, wasn't he?
I'm always that way. I'm always that way. I'm a defeatist.
You're a pessimist.
Catastrophe. I do that a lot, too.
I wouldn't say I catastrophe. I have low expectations, so then I'm always pleasantly surprised.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but my brain works terribly. Like I'll be walking down a hall and I'll think something horrific will happen to somebody. And I'm like, oh, get that out of your head, you idiot. That's not going to happen.
You were one of those run. Once you started walking across the dark basement, you'd start running towards the stairs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Well,
I still do that.
We were supposed to speak to Lee Romare, who is the practical effects director for the 2025 version of Frankenstein by Guillermo del Toro, which I really, really liked. And I had heard from people that didn't like it. And I was like, well, maybe I won't watch it now because these people that I respect their opinions on things didn't like it. But I ended up digging it quite a bit. Jacob Elordi as the creature, not Frankenstein. Mia Goth, who I love, as Lady Elizabeth Harlander. She's really good. And I like her. I love those horror movies she was in. Oscar Isaac as Victor Frankenstein.
Read the rest of these as Walder Frey.
David Bradley, the actor. I was the blind man who killed every one of those Stark bastards. What are you doing out of your house? Go back to your house, Harry Potter. Jacob Elordi as the creature who was so nice and then killed my family. The lovely Mia Goth as Lady Elizabeth Harlander, Oscar Isaac, Victor Frankenstein, Christoph Waltz as Igor.
No, it's pronounced Igor.
I didn't catch that. He was Igor.
Abby something?
Abby who? Abby Normal.
Charles Dance, who was also in Game of Thrones. Baron Leopold Frankenstein, Felix Hammerer, William Frankenstein, and other people. Ralph Innocent played Professor Krempe. He was angry. Angry, I tell you. Now I'm going to go kill the rest of the Stark bastards.
And get those wolves while you're at it.
Go get those wolves. The spirit of the trees, a forest, built our fences, not a hideous creature. You are injured. You are in the war.
He was so good. That guy's great, though, yeah. Isn't he?
He's amazing.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. So everybody here watch it. Jeff, did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it.
What'd you think? Did you dig it?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro makes good movies, man.
Putting on the Ritz scene was probably my favorite.
And yes, I love how you can finally see it in color.
But I really enjoyed it. That's probably my favorite adaptation.
It being true to the story, I think that's mine as well. I like the Universal one still. I love that one.
Yeah.
The old
is that the one with Robert De Niro?
No, Boris Karloff, the original.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, way back.
God. I hate the Robert De Niro one.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Not a fan.
Yeah, I'm a monster.
I like that Victor Frankenstein was drinking milk the whole time.
Yes. Yeah. Is that from the book? Because I haven't read the book in a very, very long time.
Well, I would assume that because of the time period, milk was the only thing that you could drink that was guaranteed not to kill you.
Yeah, if he didn't drink alcohol, so
yeah.
Maybe it shows his attachment to his mother as well.
And there was no clean water.
Yeah, the water wasn't good.
But that's why I wanted to talk to Lee so much, because obviously there's a lot of CGI in this movie, and sets that I couldn't tell if they were real or CGI or not. But there are practical effects, like the animals and the scenery and things like that, and the blood. I mean, it's not all. You can tell when things are, you know, CGI blood, and it was pretty gruesome, some of those scenes. But all in all, a pretty good film, and I'm glad that it got nominated for Golden Globes, because that means it might get some Oscar nominations. And I thought Oscar Isaacs was fantastic, and I think he should also get nominated. But
we're meant to believe that Frankenstein is stronger than those 100 guys from the boat.
Yeah.
You're stronger.
I would have utilized him for sure. I'd have been like, let's give him Victor.
Yeah.
And let's let him get our boat free.
Right. Anyhow, I hope we do get to talk to him, because we had a lot of good questions. I should have used Grok, but then it would be like, would you want to see it naked?
Yeah. But how did Frankenstein look naked?
Make it spicy. Make it spicy. Make it
spicy. How many penises did Dr. Frankenstein have to choose from for the creature?
Yes.
He would have an enormous Schwanzstucker.
That goes without saying.
I've never finished the Robert De Niro one, because it's just so bad.
Yeah, that's about like the Benicio del Toro Wolfman. I think of them both equally as failures.
The Redbox troll liked that one.
Yeah, he did.
Benicio del Toro was in that. Lizzie never heard of the Redbox troll.
I found out about it at the Christmas party. I was like, why isn't he still a thing?
Why isn't it popping up there? Well, because I'm not very good at puppeting. It hurts my hand, and I had to drag it in, and people would stare at me.
He'll be doing the Night Before Christmas on New Year's on Christmas Eve, though. We'll post that again for sure.
Post that one. The my son, when I used to do the show at home, my son wanted me to make it eat cars. And just the other day, he saw a picture of it. And he goes, will you go down to the basement and get that, please? And I said, no, I'm not going to get it. It's dead. Is it in heaven? No, it's just gone.
Get that thing out and make that thing eat cars for your son.
You know what I want to do with that thing? I want to write stuff. Because it was funny, but now you bring it back in and no one's going to know what we're talking about. So if you'd like, I'll bring it back and do the voice, but it just has to have an angle.
Yeah. We got to give him a bit. We got to give him a reoccurring bit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's for a future day. Maybe we'll bring him back if there's a groundswell from the audience to bring back the Redbox troll.
Brad Frankenstein. I think I could have done better, you know. Whatever.
Hey, Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by the Punchline Comedy Club in Sandy Springs, Georgia. Tucked inside the legendary Landmark Diner, the Punchline remains Atlanta's longest-running premier comedy nightclub, where you can get a huge slab of cake, pancakes, or even a hamburger to satisfy any cravings you have while you're laughing. Make sure you tip your waitresses, please, and waiters. Or just servers. Why don't we just say that, Tim? It's 2025. Coming up at the Punchline, December 12th through the 14th, Taylor Williamson. On the 15th, Landon Bryant. December 18th, Carter Anderson. The weekend of the 19th through the 21st, Sienna Hubert Ross. The 26th through the 28th, it's Maddie Smith. And you can have a wonderful time on New Year's Eve with a New Year's Eve live comedy show. Patreon members, keep an eye out for a weekly post offering you a chance to win a pair of passes to an upcoming show. Go to punchline.com for tickets and information. For some reason, Gene Simmons is in the news cycle because he was in Washington, D.C. And you couldn't be a more out-of-date old boomer than Gene Simmons, right?
Oh, he got the Kennedy Center honor, that's why.
He did, but so did Paul Stanley. Do you know what Paul Stanley did? He got his award, he said thank you, and he went back to Calabasas.
Yeah, what he didn't do was get set in front of a Senate subcommittee on Tuesday.
Yes.
And bitch that the artists that are played on the radio aren't paid directly. It's paid to the publishing right owner.
Right.
Which is reality.
It is entirely not fair. It's not fair. The ambassadors of our country. No, what did he say? He said, Bing Crosby's White Christmas is the most popular Christmas song of all time. And Elvis Presley is the greatest ambassador of American music. And what? What are you talking about? Not now. The guy's been dead since 1977. That's a long time ago.
What was the last time he was relevant?
Well, we were in our heyday. And then there's the clip where he's being interviewed by some female journalist. And at the end, he goes, oh, wait a minute. Are you still modeling? And she's, of course, what? What do you mean? He goes, are you still modeling? And she goes, oh, no, I've never modeled. And he goes, oh, I thought you had.
Oh, he's being gosh.
It's like a pickup line from 1977.
Exactly. Paul's it. I just went back home. I made some spaghetti. I make pasta. And I rode my bike around. I always wear my helmet, but it was a thrill to be in our nation's capital. I don't care who the president is. It's still an honor. And then some reporter asked Gene, how do you think President Trump is doing? He goes, why do you care? Why do you care what I think? Voting used to be going behind the curtain, and you voted your conscience. Now you people, you make everything bad.
So actually, that's probably the closest I've ever agreed with Gene Simmons on anything.
Yeah.
Yes. I was good in Runaway.
No, you weren't.
I wasn't. What is that movie? Is that the one with Tom Selleck?
With Tom Selleck, yeah.
That's not a bad movie. He was super creepy in it.
Yeah. Well, he's super creepy as demon, too. But once you get into Gene as a person, that's where it just separates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to Ace. I always liked him the best because he talked like this. He always talked like this, you know. Actually, Tom, I'm a plumber.
He was the best looking one out of the group.
Not without the makeup on.
Did he Bob Saget himself?
Who?
Ace Frehley?
I
think he fell down, yeah.
I thought it was a stroke.
It was hit his head, steamrolled into the same thing. Yeah, that happened to Saget in a shorter period of time.
Yep. But we never really know what happened to them. We only know what they tell us. So everybody is watching Stranger Things except me, so we can maybe talk a little bit about Timu Stranger Things, which is what I call Welcome to Derry, although this week's episode kind of blew me away compared to the one the week previous.
Yeah. The only thing I don't care for is I don't care for them making Pennywise the clown in real life the alter ego of Bob Gray.
Yeah.
I don't like that. But Bob Gray, it's the personification of all of King's evil. I mean, he is.
Yeah.
Not only Pennywise, but he's also Flag.
Flag, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're saying Bob Gray, in this show, they're making him like...
They gave him a personality.
He was a decent person before.
The creature saw that the kids were attracted to him, so it absorbed his personality as Pennywise.
Yeah. So that the kids would come to him.
Yeah.
Right, right, yeah.
But Bob Gray, as a character, has always been whatever Pennywise is when he's not Pennywise.
So he's like Walter. He's Walter.
Yeah.
He's Walter in the Dark Tower.
Yeah.
Now he's also Walter in Eyes of the Dragon, right? He's Randall Flagg in that.
He's Flagg in Eyes of the Dragon, yeah.
And he's Flagg in The Stand.
Mm-hmm.
So who's Richard Sayre? I always thought Richard Sayre. I just finished Song of Susanna again, or the beginning of The Dark Tower, which is book seven. So who is Richard Sayre? He's not Walter. I always thought those two were the same, and I don't know why, because they die at different times. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, he's just the member of the, what was it, Sombra Corporation? Yes.
Corporation.
Let's see. He was just a low man, I thought.
Yeah. the best actor in the entire show is Chris Chalk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely runs circles because the dialogue sucks. It's not that great.
I like that part when the vampires attacked the club and Michael B. Jordan had to try and fight them off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although I'll tell you, they did do the black spot tragedy justice.
Yeah.
Because that was just as vicious as I imagined it.
Right.
Oh, I was like, I know it was a show, but I'm like, how can these mother efforts do this? Like listening to people scream and cry and burning and yeah. But like I said, it was amazing how long they all did survive in that thick black smoke.
Will Hanlon is Mike Hanlon's dad then, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
That's why if he's raised by his grandfather, we know why now.
Yes, we do.
Well, actually, no, we couldn't because he still has to make Mike.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
The leader of the crew that came out to the black spot, the sheriff.
Yeah, Clint Bowers.
He's the grandfather of
Henry Bowers.
Henry Bowers, yeah.
God, the timeline's so screwy because, I mean.
adjust it in your head 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the book.
I don't know. I'm going to finish it. I guess, but.
There's only one left.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Are they going to.
I did like how.
Are they going to continue it, or is this just a one and done?
Well, it's supposed to jump back at different time frames per season. So I think we're going to go back probably more to 1908 era and see what happened. Because you've got to see how Pennywise was assimilated into it. So in the woods, I think there'll be a scene where he becomes him in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
and takes on his personality.
And but, Will is caught in the deadlights now, right? So yeah. How does he do that?
Well, we know from the movie that you can be in the deadlights and then come back because that's how the girl did.
Okay.
They were able to bring her back out of it. So somehow they got to bring him back out of it. But I thought it was also really neat at the very end how Pennywise, once they moved that one totem from the ground at the end, that opens up the cage, and Pennywise was going to sleep, but he woke back up because they took a piece of it away.
Right.
And well, they said it was because they opened the turtle. Like they were like the pieces just hold him into place, but opening the turtle is what woke him up.
Yeah, which I thought was cool. They used the turtle shells.
But how did Ingrid get out of the deadlights? And like, what does that mean? Because you saw her; she wasn't dead. Well, rolling her out on the stretcher.
I figured the reason he didn't kill her completely was because if you have all these kids or people saying that they saw a clown and then you give them a clown at the scene of the crime,
yeah,
then that sums that story up and nobody looks for Pennywise after that.
She did give the kids a sinister look, though.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was an odd way that she was causing all of this
by
trying to create every, you know, essentially feeding him kids at certain times, but just to see her father again, she would start it.
I love Madeline Stowe. She's a good actress.
Yeah, she is. And she hasn't been in anything in a long time.
Is that Madeline Stowe?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize that.
Yep. What else are we going to talk about tonight? Did you guys see what happened to Andy Dick?
Oh, yeah. That was scary. Almost. I didn't like that.
He was just on Harlan Highway.
I know. And then he went out and did a bunch of crack and hit his head.
Yeah. It wasn't heroin?
No, he says he smoked crack ahead of apparent overdose.
That doesn't turn you blue, though.
He looked like he was using it, if you ask me.
But, you know.
Is he okay?
He was doing interviews this afternoon, so I guess so.
What? Okay.
They were trying to give him Narcan at the end of that video.
Yeah. Everyone's saying the video was staged.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little weird.
Well, what was weird is the dude had his phone mounted on a scooter and he keeps looking over and people are saying, oh, he was trying to frame it and everything. I'm like, no, he's making sure nobody steals his damn scooter. You ever been to downtown LA?
Yeah.
Yeah. His phone.
He should have just, you know, cooked something on the man grate.
It's weird that he had to tell them to call 911. Like they couldn't figure that crap out on their own.
Yeah.
Like the guy's freaking blue.
Oh, by the way, Jeff, thank you for last week. The tip about that Odd Couple episode, Scrooge gets an Oscar from season 1, episode 13. That was a good episode. You can watch all of them on What is that?
Tubi?
Pluto.
Pluto, okay.
So I downloaded the app and watched it. It's very jarring to see the modern commercials interrupting something when you expect to see a Crazy Eddie commercial.
Yeah.
But that Odd Couple, I forget, you know, how good the writing was, how good the comedy was. And the first apartment was the best one.
Yeah. Then
shooting it on film and switched to video.
They had the live audience, so they had to change the layout.
Yeah. But the first apartment was really, really cool. It's like, this is a place I would want to live in New York. How old are they supposed to be?
30s, I should say.
Yeah, I always thought they were ancient.
So funny because I never viewed them as anything but old men.
Yeah, same here.
They're like younger than me.
Yes, and now we're all older than they were.
Yeah, anytime you see those pictures where it's like, here's the A-team, and they're like, yeah, they're like 28 and 32, yeah, and you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, Hannibal's old.
Yeah, he was 45.
Yeah, yeah. He was just mad that he's doing that TV show when he was in Breakfast at Tiffany's. I love it when a plan falls apart. Who did you say was making all sorts of crazy?
Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino went on a podcast and
I'm seeing clips of him shitting on actors, and are they all from one podcast?
They're all from one podcast, one conversation. You know, it was in studio, so it was him just sitting across from another person asking questions, and he starts riffing on what he likes about Hollywood and what he doesn't. And I think someone asked him, well, who do you not like in Hollywood as far as actors? And so he explained why these two or three people he doesn't like. And you would think that he was trying to destroy their career, but that's what Quentin Tarantino does. When he brings people into the zeitgeist again through himself, he inadvertently improves their career. And he did that multiple times.
Yeah,
throughout the years.
He called Paul Dano. I can't remember the exact quote, but it was the weakest actor. I don't remember, but it's like, wow, that's a really strong thing to say about somebody.
Anyone
who actually gets roles, like the weakest actor you've ever seen.
He went after Matthew Lillard too.
Yeah.
Matthew Lillard talked about it. He was doing some live Q and A stuff.
It was
somewhere.
A convention or something.
Yeah.
He talked about it. And he was like, Hollywood doesn't like me, but that's okay because you guys do. And he was like, and it hurts, but it's okay.
Well, when I saw the clip, it was on social media. And so all I heard was that clip of him shitting on Paul Dano. And I thought, well, that must be from an old podcast or something like that, or an old interview. So
he must have just watched There Will Be Blood recently, I think.
Yeah.
Because then it just pops into your head like the most recent thing you've watched.
Well,
was his Paul Dano's first movie, right?
He needs to watch Little Miss Sunshine.
No, he's in Little Miss Sunshine.
Ah, okay.
But I may take flack for this, but I've never cared for Paul Dano as an actor in anything that he's done. He just seems like he doesn't emote enough. And some people say, oh, well, that's what he does well, is he, you know, you see it through in his eyes. And I'm like, no, you see a whiny little guy that, and that's the only character he plays, whether it's a Batman villain or a preacher or that whole twin situation, like you said, and there will be blood. That was given to him because the other guy that was supposed to play his brother backed out at the last second, and he had to play both characters.
Mm.
It wasn't originally.
But would you call him the weakest actor you've ever seen?
Yeah, when it comes to when you're working with Daniel Day-Lewis and you've got a crew like that,
yeah,
sliding a guy like that in is no. It's not something that you're doing to make him rise up. It's something you're doing to make your other actors look better.
He was on The Sopranos, season 4 and 5. He was AJ.
I mean, for him, for people who go to Quentin Tarantino, up until this point, it used to be whoever Quentin Tarantino liked or his opinion mattered. But when his opinion doesn't go the way that you want it to, all of a sudden it's a dig.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it was the same either way. Now, I don't know about the Matthew Lillard situation, but Paul Dano situation, I think, has to do with Titanic Boy.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
DiCaprio, why? Because DiCaprio, the last movie he did for Quentin was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And he wants to do his 10th movie, and he wants to use Leonardo DiCaprio. But Leonardo DiCaprio this week, right before this interview happened, agreed to do the Heat sequel, Heat 2.
Okay.
And so that next year and a half, 2 years, he's going to be in that. He's not going to be able to make Quentin's movie. So Quentin's going to have to stop and not do that movie. And I think there's just, I think it was Quentin's knee-jerk reaction and him whining.
Is Paul Dano in Heat?
No, he's not in Heat, but
he's just hyper right now.
Yeah. Well, Leonardo DiCaprio is the only actor in Hollywood right now that if he agrees to a movie, it's automatically greenlit.
Yeah.
No question asked. Mm-hmm. And there's no other actor in Hollywood that can do that. And Quentin knows that. And if he's not going to get him, then he's not going to have his 10th movie made right now.
Mm. So maybe it'll never get made, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I'll never make it, okay?
Do you know who did the best ever?
Norm.
Norm. Yeah.
He did it better. He did it first.
Oh, yeah. That was so funny.
Yep. He did it first, and that was it. Anybody else doing it was copying him. Okay. So I can't really talk about Stranger Things. Do you want me to leave while you guys talk about it? Because I'm not watching it. I'm never going to watch it. So
why won't you watch it?
Because I didn't like season 4.
You told... I thought you didn't watch season 4.
I didn't, because I was like, it's done after season 3. I thought it was done. I didn't think they needed it. You want me to watch it? Should I watch it?
You told me for as my Christmas gift you would watch the show.
How drunk was I when I said that?
I don't think you were, unless you're drinking at work.
No, I don't drink at work.
Anymore.
I don't drink at all. I guess maybe I'll watch it. When I'm on vacation, I get 2 weeks off starting the 19th. I'll watch it then. Is that cool?
Nice.
Radio Labyrinth has sponsors. In fact, we have two delightful sponsors I'd like to tell you about right now. The first one being our longest sponsor, Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, proudly serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is the place to be, proudly serving you the best pizza and euros in the city. They're the place to be this fall. They have a huge selection of local Georgia and Southeast craft beers on tap, as well as many others available in bottles and cans. Their featured selection for fall is Scofflaw Brewing's Oktoberfest. Come out and enjoy a tasty ice-cold brew and some fantastic food made fresh to order. And I can attest to that. Their food is amazing. I'm talking about some of the best gyros, pizzas, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Stop by Monday through Friday from 11 to 9 p.m. and Saturdays from noon to 9 p.m. And they are closed on Sundays. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia, and that's always fun, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Their food truck is also available. So if you're interested, call Mike at 770-483-6228 for more details or to schedule your private or corporate event. And Mike says, thanks for listening to the best podcast around. Thank you, Mike. And for all your business and continued support. We're also brought to you by LDI Repro Printing. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005, which, if you're like me and good at math, is 20 years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366, or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com.
His views.
Or.
And snooze.
Sarah Squirm, live in the flesh on HBO Max on the 12th.
That premieres on the 12th, right?
Yep.
How did it get nominated for a Golden Globe?
It's just got to come out before the end of the year.
Yeah, they have that new, I don't know if they have stand-up specials. And I mean, Sarah Silverman, obviously, I think she's great. But Bill Maher, please fuck off. And then that guy from Ted Lasso got nominated for Best Stand-Up Special.
That was terrible. It wasn't even funny.
Yeah. And there were like 70 stand-up specials released this year. And I tweeted the other day on X. I said, why wasn't Dusty Slay nominated or something? And he wrote back, I'm just happy to be doing comedy.
We're having a good time.
Yeah. And that's what I said. And we'll keep having a good time. I like Dick Van Dyke.
I can't believe he's still alive. Is that your next one?
Yeah, starring Dick Van Dyke on PBS on the 12th. It's a retrospective about his whole career as part of the American Masters show.
Now, what if you don't get PBS?
You can download the PBS app. Put in your city that you're in, and you can watch anything.
Yeah, I'll find out. I love Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah. Is this a put-together just documentary, or is this culminate in that live thing that just happened where he was awarded?
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be part of it or not. They did just film a big thing with them.
And Carol Burnett was on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Knives Out movie comes out on the 12th also, the third one.
I better watch the first one, huh?
They're all really good.
They're really good, yeah. They're fun.
Are they all on Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some more homework for me when I'm on vacation.
And then my staff pick is my next guest needs no introduction. New season comes out. I think it's the 16th. But that Adam Sandler interview was really good. He dropped that one on the first or second of December.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was good.
Yeah, it was really good.
I love that he's still doing that.
I've been watching recently, it's American Crime Story, I believe it's called. I think it's done by the Ryan Murphy.
Ryan Murphy.
Yeah. And yeah. I watched the Murdaugh murder one, and now I'm watching the Monica Lewinsky one, which is quite amusing. And Sarah Paulson plays Linda Tripp.
Right.
And she does it so well that at first I didn't even recognize her. She's so good with it.
Yes, Paulson's a good actor. Let's see, my staff pick, I guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're going one as Dogma with Kevin Smith. They released, finally, he got the rights back. He's released it through Lionsgate instead of Miramax. Mm-hmm. And he owns the rights to it along with the people that helped him get the rights. I think they actually bought it and then basically are sharing with him the rights for it. So he released it on 4K and it came out yesterday. I'm recording.
Nice.
And looks great. Looks awesome.
Yeah, they're promoting it big time on TikTok.
Yeah. And it should be promoted. I mean, it was a movie that was so good and it just didn't get any of the advertising or anything else just because of the drama that was going on inside of Miramax even then.
I loved that movie.
Yeah.
And I'm a Catholic, so.
Yeah.
Ming Chen.
He was, yeah, you get to see his face in lovely 4K next to Selma Hayek's boobs.
Oh, nice. Hey, before we go, I want to remind you that you can become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member. How about that? Radio Labyrinth listeners, you radios, you can support us for the low, low cost of $5 a month. Only $5 a month. That's it. That's the only tier moving forward. You can keep it where it was before or lower it to $5, whatever you want to do. And this is aside from the executive producers. If you're paying more and want to reduce it, go ahead. Tariffs are hitting us hard.
No, they're not. I mean, they're beautiful. The economy's great.
And for anyone on the fence or looking to support us, make sure you add your address to the Patreon profile so we can get it and mail you a thank you letter and our latest sticker, which all went out last week. And for the executive producers, we'd love to have you join us as guests on Radios in the Dark. So far, we've had Mike Hall from Atlanta Pizza in Euro and another special guest coming up soon. But it's your show and you help us keep it going with your generous donations. And we'd love to have you join us for the live Patreon show, Radios in the Dark. For $25 a month, you become a producer, an executive producer. That's your title. And you'll get a sticker, a shirt of your choice from our merch store, and a weekly shout out on the show, plus the aforementioned opportunity to sit in with us while we record the live Patreon show. So without any further ado, let's thank our most recent additions to the producer column, Pat Squatch Talk Turner. And I will give you a plug for your podcast, Squatch Talk, Pat Turner, Scott Augustine. We also have Mike Walker, John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D., Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and DJ Chelsea Smith. So thank you guys very much for supporting us. Please remember to rate, like, and review us on Spotify or wherever you listen. And if you're on YouTube watching this, please comment. We love your comments. All 75 of you. I'm just kidding. I'm not bitching. We love you guys. Just tell your friends. Dear friends, I don't want to buy bots. Dustin will hate that. That painting will fall. The painting behind him that's not really there will fall and hit him in the head. Thank you again to everybody who came out to Atlanta Pizza in Euro. We'll do it again next year, hopefully, and we'll have a good time. And maybe Dusty will come there. He won't come there, but he's welcome to.
Maybe he will, though.
Never know.
If we're having a good time.
Come out next time. Until next time, please remember to keep it canon.
They say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the radio.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.